Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly Podcast.
Are you on the tea as well?
I'm on the coffee. God. Look how we've changed as the weeks have gone on. Oh, you got coffee?
Coffee.
Of course, you're at home.
Yeah, you drink coffee. I can shit myself.
God,
I'm going to hit record. We're going to hit record because we just did a funny without the record on.
Look at what 10 weeks has done to us. 10 weeks of lockdown. We started as... just imagine this, right? From the first episode of this show, where I got very, very drunk. Like, the drunkest I've been probably during this whole thing. And now here we are, both at the same sort of time, supping on a cup of coffee.
It's the end of the party, mate. It's why if you don't mind, I'm going to do this episode in my pyjamas. Because I'm going to go out in... Not in a bang, I'm going to go out in comfort, if that's
okay.
You're
going to go out in comfort? Absolutely, mate. So here it is, episode 10.
Oh shit, we're going into it. Right.
All right, caught me off guard.
Well, that was just still preamble.
Oh, well, yeah, it probably is. So here we are, we're on week 10 of the Apocalypse Office Party.
Wait, 10
what
weeks?
What a weird and wonderful and interesting little sort of experiment we've been able to do during this lockdown, man. Us doing this has really given me an opportunity to sort of remain relatively creative throughout.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, it's no secret. For those first few weeks, and I think you were in the same boat, it was real. I was really struggling with what I was going to do. Mm. And I have lots of fears about that still, but it's slightly... It's moved on because now it's all about post this, right?
Yeah.
So that was a really nice thing. That was really helpful. Figuring out I had such a disdain apparently for Emma Bunton and such an admiration apparently for Mel B, which I'm sure deep down I must have always known. Mm. But it's come to light. That's been really fun.
I quite like the fact my rampant hatred for Michael Owen is now public knowledge.
That's canonical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've resisted the urge to tweet him.
Hey, Michael, but listen to this. You feature heavily in this podcast. Give it a listen.
Some might say you're the hero.
Some might say you're the hero. Yeah, he's
others
the
might say you're the dragon that needs slaying.
No, but it's been a good fun 10 weeks.
How have you been?
Yeah, I've been pretty good. I found out I haven't got Corona the Revenge because I had to get tested a second time for Corona, which I haven't got. I got the text message this morning to say that I'm all clear again.
Oh, thank Christ.
We had to get it done a second time. I'll explain. So, because basically we rang 111 because someone in the house, a cough started to get really, really bad. We phoned 111 and they said, you might have been tested too early.
Right.
So go and get tested again. But it sounds like it's probably not, but go and get tested again. So we had to get a home kit again with the swabbing and the nosing and the... Oh, God, that was a bit of a nightmare.
Again, the salivary same, swab up your nose.
Same procedure. Oh, yes.
Oh, they're scrimping. Same procedure. There's no scientific basis for why you should have saliva up your nose. Sorry,
there
that's scrimping.
It doesn't feel necessary, but evidently it is.
This doesn't feel necessary.
Is anyone else questioning this? Is it just me? Because everyone else is doing it and they don't seem to be...
Everyone else seems to be feeling mild discomfort. Am I the only one who feels this is unnecessary?
Yeah, you know, is anyone else being turned on? Or is that just me? That's just me. That's another thing I found out about myself, apparently. It's been pretty good. And I've, you know, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but I'm a proper bike guy now. I get on my bike every day. But anywhere between 10 and 20 miles every day is kind of what I've been averaging at the moment. Which has been pretty grand. What about you, mate? What have you been up to? How you been?
Oh yeah, I've been all right. For the 10th week, I may as well do. I really need to watch how I fucking phrase things.
Yeah, that would be good. It's lucky wouldn't not it a just... lot of people watch this.
I
Thank you, everyone who does, by the way.
But Creative Distance is still going ahead, is still going on, still rampantly charging the live art train. That
Absolutely.
Was a phrase. This week that we're filming, Inspiration Creative are back with all their programme after taking a short break. Jodie Cole is back with live dance classes. Rachel Hammond is back with more stories. And soon I'm hoping to be able to announce some very interesting... No. I'm hoping to announce some very interesting partnerships.
Uh-huh.
That Creative Distance.
It's just very funny that you've been teasing stuff for, like, this is probably the fourth episode. You've been like, stuff's happening. That's fine. Stuff changes how it's happening. And of course, like anything, it's the behind the scenes bureaucracy kind of stuff takes ages sometimes to get all that stuff in place. So you can go, well, we figured out how we're going to announce it. So now we're announcing it.
Yeah, you know, and we're a small team.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
you know, trying to keep people, you know. But then you've also got your own lives to manage. Despite the fact that we're in still a state of lockdown. You know, and if you work in theatre, you still have free time, but people have still got their lives to do. You know, surprisingly, actually, I know I make jokes about it, there is other shit I have to do.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, and spend my time.
Okie dokie, Mr. Darren Hill. Do you want to do some quick fire questions, my friendo?
Oh, is that all the chat done? Okay, fine. That's all right.
Well, we could do more chat after, but...
If you want to go straight to format, mate, it's fine. It's all right. I don't care. Yeah. I don't want a big finale. I just want to get to the end.
I just want to get through it, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Who's going first?
Who read first last time? I think me. I think you. I'll read first.
Okay.
Quick fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
What is the best movie ever, and why is it Never Say Never by Justin Bieber? Or the Justin Bieber story. Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, so the best movie ever is in Bruges. Case closed, it is in Bruges. Followed very closely by Inception. Followed uh-huh. very closely for me, because I love heist movies, by Ocean's 11. Followed very closely by all the James Bond films in chronological order, because they are, I count them as one... And I will not...
That's fair enough.
I will not break rank between them. They are all the best films to me. It is not that Justin Bieber one, because, frankly, I'd rather have dysentery.
Brilliant. Why not?
And if I drink enough coffee, I probably will get a version of it. You probably will.
Would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your future... or 10 minutes into the future of anyone except yourself?
Oh, no, I'd go 10 minutes into my future.
10 minutes into your future?
Yeah, I'd go 10 minutes into my future. Yeah.
Why? Have you got a reason behind it?
I think it's immediately going to be more useful. If it was 10 years, mm-hmm. I'd be very tempted to look at someone else's.
Interesting.
I would. But I think if it is just 10 minutes, I'll have a sneak peek. That won't feel like I'm breaking anything. Do I get to choose when I get the 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Would that be the thing?
You know, yeah, you can absolutely choose.
So if I was in a situation where I sensed, like, oh, I could do with seeing what happens in 10 minutes, because then I can plan.
Yes, it doesn't just happen randomly.
That's almost like a concentrated version of Bernard's Watch, right? That's
very true, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the most ironic thing to have happened to you?
Oh, that's a... Can we come back to that? I'm going to have a think
about
that.
We can absolutely come back
Sorry.
To it. We can. Which instrument would you most like to play?
Piano.
Be able to play?
Piano.
Would you rather be covered in fur or scales? So built-in blanket or built-in armour?
Scales.
Is it for the armour reason? That was my pick.
And also, I'm not particularly cuddly, so...
So it would make you even less cuddly. Which sport would you most like to have gone pro in?
Snooker.
Excellent. I thought that might have been your answer. Would you rather lose the ability to speak or the ability to hear?
Speak.
Why?
I think, ultimately, it is more advantageous to you and you will grow better if you listen.
Okay, nice. Rank these TV chefs.
Yes.
By which you would think, by who you think would be the best at trapeze. Hugh Fernie-Whittingstall, Gordon Ramsay, or Gino DeCampo?
Very easy. Hugh last, because it's Hugh Fernie-Whittingstall. Gordon Ramsay second, because he again would be good, but I think he's not agile enough.
Okay.
And then it's Gino DeCampo last, because he'd do it with grace, elegance, and just... flair.
I'm loving this sort of love affair that you've got going on.
I just think
the way you talk about him is wonderful.
Beautiful man. Beautiful.
And finally,
yeah.
Grab the first object near you. Just within reach. Okay. What is it?
This is a prop that I was making for the show that I was due to do before COVID-19 struck. That I never finished making. This was meant to be a load of. They were meant to be a load of fish puppets. That's meant to be a fish, Connor. Shit. It's absolutely shit.
Only, of course, it's not a puppet fish because you, Darren Hill, inventor extraordinaire, are going to give me a pitch on what that object is and how to use it.
Ah, okay.
I want a name. I want a new name.
Yes.
And how you would use it.
Well, as you can see, this is a... It's a very big toothpick.
Of course, yeah, I can see that.
It's a very big toothpick at one end. It's multi-use gadget. It's a toothpick, but it's also an arrow for when you're when you need to point and give directions to people, right? And you go, it's over there. But its main feature is that it doubles up as a little submarine, and it looks like it's made of cardboard, so people don't suspect it when you put it in the water. But it doesn't disintegrate for facts that I can't divulge.
Of course, there's patented technology.
And it's a little remote control submarine that you can use to do all manner of things like collect
all manner of submarining.
Yep, collect information on wildlife or see where your enemies are, or
so it's a weapons contract also.
Yes, or you can use it to collect information on your ex-partners, provided that they're out at sea all the time.
Fantastic. And what's its name? And what's the name of it?
It's called the Toothpick Arrow Cardboard Submarine thing.
Oh, good. What a unique naming convention you've chosen.
I suppose what I'm saying is I shouldn't have had a coffee and got into my pyjamas before I decided to do the improv thing.
Has it made you feel like a little bit more sort of lethargic because you're in like comfy time?
Because for me,
although this is obviously what I wear just normally, it does also feel like uniform. It feels like funny uniform. So I put it on and it's funny uniform time. And this is the uniform I use to sort of...
Well, I thought this would be funny uniform time for a gag, but it's like when I turned up with no clothes on, on the top for a bit. It was funny for about... And then wore just a T-shirt and my tie. It was funny for about 5 seconds. And then the joke didn't carry on. It wasn't sustained throughout the episode. So that's what's happened there. So what I'm saying is at some point, I might get a better idea of what that thing is. And then we're going to have to spontaneously redo this conversation in order to make myself and the program look better.
That's no worries. Okay. Fantastic.
The most ironic thing. Oh, sorry. The most
irony, of course. Yeah.
The most ironic thing that's ever to happen to me. Bloody hell! I'm really struggling with that.
That's fine. I'm aware.
So instead, I will tell you a story about the times my genitals have accidentally been exposed.
Fantastic. Let's talk about that.
Which does not answer the question.
Which isn't really anything to do with irony.
No, I just want...
Unless there's an ironic time when you had your penis out.
I don't know. So, well, I'll give you two stories.
Wonderful.
I'll give you two stories. So once I was at a friend's house, mm-hmm. and his room at that time, he had like a big loft, which had like, you know, multiple beds and sofas for people to sleep on, you know, telly in the corner. It was a bit like a lad's den, essentially, which when you're teenagers is wonderful.
Lads.
And we sort of meet up on the weekends over at my friend's house. And, you know, this is when a few of us started to learn to drive, and it was kind of, you know. One night I was lying on a chaise longue, mm-hmm. and it was a boiling summer's... Nice. It'd been a boiling summer's day. And at this point, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I get in a blanket, but I...
Nice.
I'm nude, apart from my boxers.
Right.
And I lie on this chaise longue, and my friends are still up, lights on and whatnot, but I'm so tired, I collapse. And apparently, I was told about an hour later, when they woke me up for a reason... that not only had the blanket come off of me, but my bollock was just hanging out the side of my boxers.
You were just hanging,
just hanging there. Just hanging Amazing. There. And my friend Fitch was like, so I don't know how to tell you this, Darren, but yeah, your bollock was hanging out the entire hour. They then woke me up an hour later to go to McDonald's, and I was out of it. I was just out, you know, that time where you're so tired and I almost like wanting to go back to sleep. And they didn't even let me get dressed. They just wrapped the blanket around me in my boxers and got me in the car, and I'm sat in the middle in the back, and I'm just sat here like this, and I'm having to go through a drive-through, not quite understanding why I'm there. And then I ordered chicken nuggets, and I'm sort of sat there trying to fall asleep. eating chicken nuggets.
Why did they wake you up? Why did they just let you sleep? I would have been livid.
Because they're bellends.
I'd be furious.
I also mm-hmm. with the same group of lads, time when I got quite drunk, I was in this loft, and my friend goes, I think I've got a bigger penis than you have. And I went, well, I... don't care if you have. But then he proceeded, he showed me, and I stood next to him. I'm very drunk at this point. I stood next to him, and he stood there just brass as balls. So I stood next to him.
There's my cock.
And I just went, well, and I pulled my trousers down too, and we just stood there.
just flaccid out. Yeah,
obviously flaccid.
But sure, that's fine.
And then what happened was, we're both drunk, and we just looked at each other and went, probably best to call it a draw, and pulled our pants up.
Wonderful, fantastic. Cool. Well, that's great. Nice,
so, Colin Maud.
What a great story.
All right, Mr. Colin Moore, are you ready for your quick fire questions?
I certainly am.
Okay. Number one.
Let's do this.
Your biggest ambition?
My biggest ambition at the moment would be to run some sort of podcast production company that hosts, that has multiple podcasts within it.
What keeps you awake at night?
Lots of things. The idea of my shortcomings. Sometimes the idea of the future. Love lost, and a myriad of other things, I'm sure.
Make a prediction for something you think will happen within 10 years.
Oh, wow, wee wah. That's a big one. Something that will happen within 10 years. I think we will completely exhaust the world's fossil fuels, and we will move to an entirely green, reusable source of energy.
You heard it here first. a Zoom call plus gin. How fucked is my liver?
on a sliding scale of 1 to 10, you're at about Johnny Vegas before recovery.
It's fucking true. Question five. How would you like to be greeted at the pearly gates?
I mean, I'm probably not going to get there, so this is my only scenario to play it out in my mind. I would like all of my heroes and the people I love to be there when I get there. And I wanna sit in a cinema-like building, and I wanna watch all the best things that have ever happened to me and to us and to them, and when we're all together on a big screen.
Rank the Spice Girls in order of who you think is the best at being Emma Bunton. From least to most.
Okay. Well, this is a quandary. Who do I think is the best Emma Bunton in the Spice Girls now? Emma Bunton is last.
Right, why?
Just because I think it's very funny that if it's, this is ever seen, if she ever sees this, I want her to know that actually I have no ill will towards her whatsoever. I just think it's very funny to put her last in a competition where she theoretically should be the best. And then it's whatever order you like. But of course, in number one is my girl, Mel B.
Number seven. Plan the perfect wedding.
Plan the perfect wedding. Okay. So we're gonna have, of course, the whole thing is being organized by LL Cool J. Because ladies love Cool James, of course. And he's my wedding planner.
Yeah.
We're having music by, you know, the best band ever, the Black Eyed Peas. They're in there. They're doing all of the music. Will.i.am and Fergie and the other ones. they're doing music. Food, of course, is being done by Gina DeCampo, Hugh Funny Whittingstall, and Gordon Ramsay. They're triple teaming it for me on this one.
Great.
My best man is Mel B. Yeah. My best man is Mel B, obviously, because we're best buds, her yeah. and I. She's my best man. And I'm marrying Emma Bunton. No, that's not false. And my wife is, at the moment, she's just this shadowy image who I haven't quite filled in yet. And of course, for a venue, we are in a replica Death Star. That's where it's being held. Yeah, like to scale size Death Star sort of entrance where Luke and those guys would be. Oh, and our officiant is Luke, is Mark Hamill.
Great.
Yeah.
Does he flitter in between Luke Skywalker and Joker?
Yes. Yes, great. He does. Yeah.
Great. Combine an animal and a machine to create a kick-ass cyborg.
Oh, wow, wee wah. That's gotta be... So, my thought process here, I want the raw power of the animal, and then I want that to be... And I want its shortcomings to be augmented by, like, the cyborg abilities, right? So, my thought is, so with, like, raw power is a hippo, because they're nearly bulletproof. Like, they're practically bulletproof. You can't put them down. They've got... A bite could, like, kill pretty much any other animal, apart from perhaps another hippo. And a machine. So... Oh, it's a machine. It's not just getting machine parts. So I've got to combine it with another... With a car! So it's got... So it's a hippo. A hippo crossed with a car. It's a hippo car. It's gonna have that raw power, like a 4x4, something big and meaty and chunky and with like loads of off-roading capabilities. It's got the power. It can chase things. It can land fairly easily.
So not something like overly quick, like a Ferrari or an Aston Martin, where it's just like a big broody hippo that's just going really quick.
That's going really, really well. Hippos are already pretty quick, as it happens, actually. But yeah, maybe it would be something. Yeah, because they're already fairly off-roady, aren't they? Huh. So maybe it would be like something really, really nippy, like a McLaren or something like that. Yeah. That can just
or a
really,
plane.
Yeah, or a Ferrari.
Flying.
Plane would be cool. Plane would be cool. Or maybe... Oh, no, they already swim. I was about to say a boat.
But if you go...
They already very much exist in the water.
Oh, but actually, if it's a car, then it could be a car that can go underwater as well.
That's very true. Car. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Great. What's the best thing?
The best thing is... That moment, lucid dreaming is the best thing.
Nice.
If you can ever lucidly dream.
Have you ever lucid? Do you do that often?
Not often. No, I have lucidly dreamt once, many, many years ago, and I have sought out that experience since. Before, have you ever got that thing? Have you ever done like the dream test to like figure out if you're in a dream or not? And I'm not talking Inception here. I'm talking about like have that the thing that you theoretically can do in real life. Have you heard about this?
No. Go on.
So apparently, because of how sort of quickly our brains are firing off,
yeah,
whilst we're dreaming, obviously it's very like, you know, dreams last fractions of seconds, is what the science believes at the moment, and they're just very, very, very quick. You can't read in dreams, apparently.
Right.
And there have been times where I have woken myself up because I'm aware it's a dream and my brain pulls me out. I'll be handed like a note or something and I'll read it and I'll go, I can't understand it, and then I'll be out of the dream. It's weird, man. That's happened a lot recently.
Have you ever done the this probably is the most ironic thing that's happened to me, but the dreaming that you're having a piss and then you just wake up and your leg's a little bit warm?
I have, yeah, not in many years.
Just quickly, it's awful.
That has happened before. It's
very, very bad.
Oh, yes.
It's very bad. I also had a night terror once, so, you know.
Oh, very fun.
You know, comedy fun show.
Comedy fun show.
I think I said it in last episode.
Pissing oneself.
Pissing oneself and having a night terror. I didn't do it at the same time. I'm not a monster.
No. Well, you know, do you know what, mate? If you had done, I wouldn't have begrudged you that. If you had a night terror and then pissed yourself because of the night terror, I would have allowed it.
But when I assume I hadn't, it's the only thing I can equate that's what I had. But when I had that, it became a very... I won't go into the reasons why I had it. I've broken down why that thing happened now. I think I understand why.
Right.
It came at quite a highly emotionally charged 2-week period of my life.
Okay.
The overriding feeling of when I had that, again, this is brilliant comedy material, was the feeling of almost like paralysis.
Yep.
And wanting to scream.
Mm-hmm.
And also a feeling of almost that you're shaking, but you're very aware that you're still.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And it lasted it was either a night terror or like sleep paralysis. I'm not entirely sure if those two things are connected, or I'll have to do more research.
I think they're slightly, but not... I don't think one is necessarily happens with... One can happen without the other, I believe.
Yeah, so I had that feeling. If you coupled that with the dream of pissing yourself, you would be very still, wanting to scream, and just a little stream of piss going down your leg. What an awful
Wonderful.
Experience that would be.
What a happy comedy fun time that would be.
Yes. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just for the best that we all forget Michael Owen?
I think if we forget about him, he could rise to power somewhere, and then he would be unstoppable. So I think actually it's best that we don't. We keep him very much within our minds and within our sights, because if we forget, he'll... There you go.
This is what this is. This is what it is. It's a Michael Owen. It's a Michael Owen tracking beacon.
It's a Michael Owen track. It points to wherever he is in time and space at any given time. Darren,
it's the Owen compass.
Alarmed. Don't be alarmed, but it is pointing behind you right now.
It's the equivalent of Frodo's sword.
What was that shadow? Darren, what was that shadow that just went behind you?
Oh, at any point, he might turn up with his shit opinions.
Oh, God. No, it's shit okay. You've got the one thing he's afraid of, a cup of coffee.
And a book. I've got a book somewhere.
Oh, fantastic.
So, the other day...
Yes.
As you know, we were on a Zoom call and I got quite drunk that evening. Because I hate being on Zoom, is the truth, for these large things. So I often find if they're kind of social events, I will have a drink to get me through. And then I found after even the Zoom call finished, I was just sipping. I was having a chat with someone and just sipping drinks. But it got to the point where
I assume it was gin as well.
Yeah, and it got to the point where I was just sat there and the room started spinning.
Which is always a good place to be.
Which is awful. On the phone to someone being like, I think I'm going to be sick. That was awful.
Oh, mate, that's pretty horrendous, yeah.
And then I got to sleep. And I woke up. I woke up in the morning just feeling very rough. Very rough. And I'm an odd creature when I feel ill.
Hungover.
Yeah, I sort of seek out weird things, either from like my childhood or whatnot, to give me comfort.
So like a comfort, yeah, comfort thing.
But weirdly, I rediscovered the song Stacey's Mum by Fountains of Wayne. Do you remember from when we were kids?
I do remember that song. Yeah, that was a great song.
And I also rediscovered the music video.
Wonderful.
I'm just going to say, Connor, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
When that music video came out, we would have been roughly the same age as the youngsters in it, of who the story is. So for anyone who doesn't know, Stacey's Mum is about a young lad who has got a friend called Stacey, and he has got a thing for Stacey's mum. There you go. There's the story in a nutshell.
That's good.
As a kid, as a teenager, I never understood the attraction to Stacey's mum.
Mm-hmm. I always came out in 2003, by the way, so we would have been 10, 11.
Yeah, I'd never got that. Bear in mind, this music video was readily available for us to watch on Freeview Television, right?
Sure.
I never got the attraction to Stacey's mum. I was always like, why does this lad not fancy Stacey? Poor Stacey, like she's just getting the raw end of the deal here. As a 27-year-old, I really get it.
Really?
Really get it.
I'm going to have to go and look at this music video now.
Really got it. There is a section in it where, you know, what a topical show this is. A music video from 2003.
Talking about a song that came out 17 years ago.
I know, but this shocked me to remember it being like, oh, God, that was what was readily available to us. Again, on Freeview Television, on the music channels.
Well, the music channels, like, I remember being a kid and, like, actively watching those. And, like, I think I remember watching something like the top 50 hip-hop or R&B videos. Because, like, as it sort of, like, got later and later, those videos would start to have, like, very scantily clad or actually completely sort of, like, mostly naked women on it. And watching that and sort of, you know... punishing my prepubescent penis to videos of scantily clad women in I'm not sure I'm ever gonna enjoy the sentence punishing my prepubescent penis.
I mean, I enjoy the alliteration.
It's a very nice alliteration. You know, yeah,
it's very nice alliteration. It's just not a very lovely image.
It's just no. No, I mean,
but I fully understand. I once recorded. Oh, this is awful. Why?
About masturbation, and said,
I once recorded again because you know you're young and you start, hormones start going through your body, mm-hmm. and you're discovering things, and certain things that are now readily available to young men of our age were not available back then.
Indeed.
Yeah, I once recorded a program. Which was on one of these music video programs, which was just the Sugar Babes versus Girls Aloud, So it's just a compilation of all the music videos. just to look at the pretty ladies.
Just to look at the... Okay, so I'm watching the Stacey's Mum music video right now, and I'm definitely not going to be able to show it, to share it, I'm afraid.
No.
But I'm watching it now, and...
It's porn.
What's making me really uncomfortable is how young Stacey is, and the sort of predicaments that she is being put in is
Wow, your moral changed really quick then.
Listen, I'm a simple man, Darren. I can both condemn the sexualization of young women and also be a horn dog for an attractive MILF. All right, it's two sides of a very disgusting coin in my life. Okay, judge me not for my. For my opinions on this. Okay, I'm going to have to not watch any more of this, otherwise we're going to do a recreation of that preview business.
I'm not doing a recreation of it for you. I know the section which you're watching, and I don't own any leather or lace, so...
you don't.
Although if we did, two things would happen. We'd go viral, and I'd lose my job. So...
I'm not sure that... Yeah, you would actually, I guess, huh?
So, Connor, for the final time for a little bit, we're going to go over to positive thoughts.
Amazing, let's do it.
Got some very real positive thoughts sent in by our listeners, all people from all around the country, from all walks of life. Been getting in touch with all the things that are getting them through. And so... To kick us off, Anne in High Wycombe says, "This week, my granddaughter and I went for a long, socially distanced walk in the sunshine. My granddaughter is currently 5 months pregnant, and so far, everything is going well. While we were out, she told me that her and her partner have decided that if the baby is a girl, that they'll call her Anne after me."
Oh, that's very sweet.
"But judging on how this year has gone so far, you just know that it's going to be a shitting boy and I'll spend the upcoming years bouncing an Alan on my knee." Gavin in York says, "During this period, I've started doing some preliminary research into my family tree."
Ah.
"As this has always been something I've wanted to do and never got round to. Well, knock me down and call me Susan. I only think I may actually be related to Michael Owen." Sorry, I've lost interest. Peter in Canterbury says, "Thanks for the show, lads. It's helped me through."
You're welcome.
To be honest, I got quite a lot like that, mate. Susie in Marlow, great show. Thanks for the pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. Keith in Newcastle, good work, boys. Joan in Swansea, "That Darren's so lush." Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that.
It's very sweet. Very, very, very sweet. Very, very sweet, you know. Megan in Wolverhampton.
Megan.
"Lads, just a quick one this week. Craig didn't watch last week's show. Instead, he tidied up the house. He cleared away the useless guff that he's bought. He apologised to our neighbour for stealing their gravel, and he hasn't touched any alcohol. Yesterday, he bought me a cup of tea and said, 'I'm sorry, I've been an unbearable knob. I understand if I've gone too far, but I love you. Please don't leave.'"
Oh,
That's all I got.
That's all the info we got from them.
Sophie in Hackney. "Every Wednesday, me and my housemate play Monopoly. This has brought us closer together and made me realise I'm in love with him."
Oh my god! Oh! Oh wow!
Nice, right?
Oh my god, that's so lovely. Oh, Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so happy. How ridiculous.
Oh, bless him.
Oh my goodness. How very sweet. How wonderful.
So all that leaves... All that leaves me to...
It's okay, mate.
All that leaves us
Where we are in the script, because obviously we script all of these.
I've just feigned that I was about to do the outro and I got it wrong.
Oh, okay.
And I've
okay,
done
good,
this
good,
and
good.
Now we're doing this, okay? Yeah. So I'll read it again. Okay. That leaves for us to say is, again, another massive thank you. And bye, friends.
Bye.